And good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, November the 8th, 2018, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a great guest this hour. Now, the first thing we want to do is thank our guest from last hour, a longtime ABC News correspondent, analyst, television host, Sam Donaldson. What a pleasure it was to have Sam for the hour. Last hour to discuss everything going on in the world, and we hope Sam will be back with us very soon. Also, don't forget, next Wednesday at 1:10 p.m., we're going to be joined by 99-year-old Ben Ferenz. Now, some people might say, who is Ben Ferenz? Ben Ferenz is the last remaining prosecutor from the Nuremberg trials. The trials against the henchmen of Adolf Hitler, the Nuremberg trials, the Nazis. He's the last surviving prosecutor. Ben Ferenz, next Wednesday at 1:10. Now, this hour is going to be fun. It's always fun because we have a man on who was on this past Monday. Now, you might say, why twice in 1 week? Well, two reasons. This person can come on this show anytime they like. They have carte blanche because they are always a great guest. But on Monday, the day before the election, this person had placed in a safe in New Jersey his prediction about Tuesday's election. Now, we talked to him Monday. We found out he had written this prediction, then he had torn it up, then he put it in the safe, and it was going to be revealed on Wednesday, and there was something else to go with it. We didn't know what any of that was because it was the day before the election and he wouldn't tell us, but he's back today, so we're going to fill in all those gaps for Monday with one of my dear, dear friends, favorite guests, legendary mentalist, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, now you can spill the beans.
Yeah, you know, this guy's great. By the way, I think that's very, very special and compelling that you're having this 99-year-old gentleman, the last person involved in the Nuremberg trial, did you say, Scott?
Yeah, the last surviving prosecutor.
Wow. And that's a part of history which dare never be forgotten any more than the Holocaust itself should ever be forgotten. That's very, I give you tremendous credit because that's a precedent that I think is very, very compelling. By the way, Scott, I want you folks to know that Scott gets very personal with me before we go on. He says, "How you feeling, Kreskin?" And I have to answer. Scott, I said, "Scott, I'm slowly getting my energy back. I've had exactly 45 minutes sleep in 2 days, and Scott understands why now because the press has not stopped calling me, and I was very interested in the election because of my choosing to be involved like you announced. I want to mention the difference between this. I was interviewed a while back by a writer who said to me, Kreskin, how did you handle attempting to predict an unfolding scenario in the election when you're not really talking about two people like Scott in the past, four presidential elections, so you have two figures that are running for president and what have you. And I'm going to, for the first time, give an idea to your listeners of how I predicted the presidential elections, and I think I've alluded to this briefly in the past. When I'm traveling, and I have audiences all the time, last night I won't go into where I was appearing and what have you, but if there's an election coming up in the year or so to come, I may in my early remarks say, you're wondering, you're probably wondering whether it's going to be Clinton or it's going to be so-and-so and all the different people who's going to win the election and our current president, what have you. And that's all I say. I say one person and I'll pause and they'll be chuckling. I'll say another and I'll say something sarcastic and go on. But Scott, I can tell you at the end of that remark who most of the people in that audience are going to vote for because I get an emotional impact of what comes strongest to me. Now, that's not saying every single person there, but I get a feeling who the majority of that house is for. As an example, I mentioned to you the robbery of a tremendous amount of jewelry a few years ago, where a person I knew, the police felt he was guilty because of the polygraph test. I think I told you about that, didn't I, in the past? Or I may or may not have. He failed the polygraph test. Well, I knew he was innocent, but I went to a gathering at the home of a roll of jewelry was stolen, and there were about 50 people, relatives and what have you. All I did was walk around and say, you know, I talked to them. I didn't say I'm looking for who stole the money. I don't do that. But I said, gee, isn't it a shame about all that jewelry being stolen? And they each had a remark. And when it was all over, the police were outside. I said, you know something? I don't think there's anyone there to even to be suspicious of. They said, of course not. So-and-so failed a polygraph test. As it turns out, after the couple that owned the house died from and most of them had Alzheimer's, I got called a few months ago. They said, Kreskin, you'll never believe this. Your friend, Dr. Hansen, whom we knew well, Dr. Fish was innocent. We knew that to begin with, because you can fail polygraph test and be innocent. But they found the jewelry. It was on a high post in the house at the very top of some structure in the upstairs area that maybe one of the elderly having Alzheimer's had put and never known it. And here, that's why I said I got no negative reaction from anybody. Well, you can't do that with a story like this, because, as you know, what I tried to predict, Scott, was with both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives, being controlled by the by the Republicans on this last term, what have you. There was a great interest in the other party taking over the Democrats, the House of Representatives, and there was a chance. Well, let me tell you this. If you looked at the news 2 nights before the election, and you looked at the news 3 nights before the election, I can't tell you how many broadcasters said, hey, we can't even figure out which way it's going. We know the way we'd like it to go, but we can't figure out which way it's going because it's so close. There were so many people involved, there were so many cities involved, there were so many possible votes involved that they didn't even want to say. So I decided, Scott, to use my own intuition and write down my prediction of the results. And it was, I spent 4.5 hours dwelling on it, looking over TV broadcasts, which really don't help that much, because the one thing you don't pay attention to is surveys and what have you. And then I wrote my prediction. And that's what I think I told you, Scott, a few days ago, that after I sealed and put it together again, I opened it up 20 minutes later and tore up everything. Did I tell you that? I destroyed everything.
You did. And now, why did you do that?
That's interesting. Because, Scott, I didn't know why. I had no idea on the face of the earth why. And I hemmed and hawed about it, and I was kind of upset with myself all this time. But I thought, was I wasting time or what have you? But something kept telling me inside, change it, and I rewrote it, and I complete. And this, by the way, Scott, your listeners, and I know you believe me enough, your listeners must understand, this had nothing to do with what I was supporting or how I felt about the political picture, because my predictions have nothing ever to do with that. I think you understand that. It has to do with what I'm picking up intuitively, and that's what I was supposed to aim for. So I completely switched it around. And I couldn't understand why. And then came the election eve, of course. And then came election day, and I was home election day and had the TV on and had the results sent to me that the Democrats had finally, when I was when they were going to open it the next day, which was I guess it was Wednesday, were driving to where the press was going to be and the film people were going to be, where you saw it live, because we put it in a building, an office that had nothing but high-end valuable jewelry, some pieces like $200,000. And if you saw in the video, did you see how thick that door was that it was put behind, Scott? Wasn't that something?
Very thick.
It was. They told me that the price of that vault could be equal to the price of any piece in the place there, in the owner. That's where they put it behind. But the bottom line is, when we got there, and my secretary was calling me on the phone because I forget how many seats the Democrats had in the House of Representatives, and how many seats the Republicans had. It was 196. When we arrived there, I forget what the amount was that the Democrats had. So we arrived, and the package was opened. And as you saw, I predicted that the Democrats would take over the House at this particular election. And I said that they would see the amount of seats they would achieve would be more than 222. This is what threw everybody, because, Scott, I swear to God, I can give you the time. It was around 1 something. At that point, the exact amount of seats that had been taken were 222. It turned out that they took, I think it was more than that. It was like 223, 227 by today's markings and everything. But I said it would be more than 222. Republicans could not take any, could not beat it, because even if they took all the rest, it would only leave them 4 points behind. So then I realized when this was opened yesterday why I was, because, Scott, it was so intense that even when they were counting, as I'm sure you're aware of, they weren't able to count all because some of the voting devices had broken down. Did you know in New York City a dozen or no broken devices broke down because they put in new ones and they weren't working right? Had you heard about this, Scott?
I heard about that. I was shocked.
Crazy. This is insane. There were people last night, one of the reporters called me, I forget from what state this is, Kreskin. You're absolutely correct, but there's outside right now, I think they said 20, 30 people still waiting in line to vote because the thing was not put together right. We spent all this money, Scott, we spent all this money on support and sophistication and what have you. And sometimes, and had we kept the old version of voting, whatever the machine was, it would have worked. In New York, as Kathy Crosby, who works for one of the networks, called me and said, "Christian," she said, "you want to know the negativeness of this? They had to fill in two pages of information from voting on some issue." She said, "Christian, I had to borrow someone's glasses to try to read the small print. What is going on with our political system today, Scott? And it's not one side or the other. It's what the hell is going on." That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I have 2 points from Monday's conversation that we had. Now, we know now that your original prediction, you tore up and put the
yes.
right prediction in.
The original prediction was that the Republicans were going to take it. And, of course, the Republicans now have only ended up with 197 seats as opposed to the 225 or whatever the Democrats have and so forth. But it was very congested. And the confusion was that I was sampling, and that's a mistake I don't usually make. But, see, this wasn't a voting for a person, whether it was whatever the presidents, the other past presidents, what have you. Even though in the case of the Jimmy Fallon show, I delivered to NBC my sealed chest that NBC put in a safe over 1 year before the election. So that's how far ahead. But I still had tapped into the thinking of mass audiences, because we should understand something, and I think I've warned you of this many times. These surveys and so forth, when you see on different shows and what have you, well, this many people we question, this many thousand, people don't tell verbally how they're necessarily going to vote or express their opinion. They don't necessarily say what they really feel. You understand what I'm saying, Scott?
I do.
And I mean that, and I'm not saying that people are lying, but people don't want to get involved in controversy. They don't want to get offended by some group that they're with or friends they're with, and so they have other feelings. And you can't. I want to tell you one thing. If anybody ever asked me, I have never made a decision on some surveys, then I would have really made a mistake.
Mm. Now, the other question, after we had talked on Monday, you said at that time you could not reveal, but once the revelation was made of your prediction, which was we now know that the Democrats will take the House.
Would take control of the House.
Would take control. That there that would lead to another prediction that which well, people would be talking about for years.
Yeah. Well, the other prediction is what I'm very deeply concerned about, and you would agree. I think you would agree, and other reporters have told me. You know, you're right, Kreskin. My feeling very seriously is, as you heard me say sarcastically, and everybody attending the press conference when it was opened, I said, I predict. You know, we can now enjoy the peacefulness and the calmness that we haven't been able to enjoy these months because of screaming, four-letter words, back-talking, anger, and so forth. And now we can enjoy this peacefulness for the next 2 weeks. Everybody, it isn't going to change. My concern is it's going to become more severe. And we can't change the fact that in the case of the House of Representatives, it is divided in half. But I have a feeling, Scott, that some of the major issues that we're concerned about solving and making advance movement with are not going to even take place until we have two more years going by, and whoever the president is will have a different situation. You have now, and this is nothing to do with what I'm talking about, the Democrats or Republicans. You now have major, major personalities who have very, very serious positions, and some of them are more emotional than anything else. That's going to cause more struggles than we even imagined. And I don't mean to say this as a hell and crossbones or disaster situation, but I'm going to tell you something. In some ways, it is almost disastrous because I'm not sure the public is going to be patient enough to wait another 2 years.
Mm.
If you can read between the lines of what I'm saying.
Well, I do, because, there's a lot of news yesterday after we learned the election results. Our president, Donald Trump, gave a press conference that was interesting, and the attorney general was fired yesterday.
Yes.
Which was interesting.
Yes. But there were reasons beyond this election. You know, I mean, I'm sure you heard the... I'm going to that now, but there were feelings why, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but it was a more complex thing because it was oncoming for over a year. You know that, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a long time coming, and after an election like that, there usually is a shakeup in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Of a president. But is this going to lead to something? Because, I mean, we do have a Democratic House headed in. The Russia investigation is still out there. Now this.
Well, you know, Scott, I got to say something regarding the Russian thing. How long would you say it's gone on, the investigation?
I think 18 or 19 months.
It's a year, at least almost a year and a half, or around a year and a half, isn't it? Because that's what I've been saying, a year and a half. You know, my concern is this. If some decisive final information has not been finalized right here and now, can you imagine how much time has been spent when maybe some other constructive things that can have fulfillment can be followed instead of dragging this on and on? Because I'll be very honest with you, I think there are some that would continue with this investigation if they could make it last two more years. That's not achieving anything.
Well, the question is, I think by a lot of people, is will it wield any results?
I don't think it will.
So at this point, you don't think there'll be any big hubbub when it comes out?
I don't think it's going to, as far as Russia is concerned, I'll tell you one thing. If Russia had that much power and that much control, and still had... What are we supposed to do if we find out they do that? Should we drop an atomic bomb on Russia? I mean, I'm asking a very stupid question, but I'm asking it to be sarcastic. What are we supposed to do, Scott? Can I ask you? I'm not asking you to be challenging, but What would you suggest that we do?
Well, I think the issue is, and this is just my take on the situation, the issue is we do not know if they hacked into the voting machines, and I think that is what is scary. Now, the problem is, if they did hack into the voting machines and votes were changed, what do we do? Because we don't really know how to handle that situation.
That's right. You just said something, Scott. You said something which worries me. And I'm glad you brought this. It worries me far more than a lot of things. We are not as sophisticated as some powers are in handling this electronic situation that we have in front of us these days. I talk to scientists and what have you and say, Kreskin, the government better be figuring out and on top of what the hell is going on, because they're going to be able to listen in on conversations in offices that are supposed to be isolated in the not-so-distant future, so long as someone visited there and dropped a pencil or something somewhere else. They said, we don't fully understand how accessible that the parts of this world, I'm not just talking about China, which has made it a major ambition in their life. They hope to take over economically the world in about eight or 12 more years. And this is not something I'm revealing. If some of the news people would address this more and more than some of the other things going on, maybe we'd be prepared for what is besetting us, because we have no, there are many people whose conversations are now being eavesdropped every day, day in and day out, for many, many months, who just live at home and maybe have a husband who works in a business or a company or what have you. And they're able to tune in, and they are tuning in and listening in to conversations.
Well, that's,
and you know this, Scott, and I know this.
Well, here's my question to you, and I'm going to throw one back at you, because this is what bothers me. The last time we saw a report from the Mueller investigation, the last time the indictments came out, in that report, if people would have read it, it says in there, it says that voting logs, voter registrations were hacked into in 39 states. Now, it says we know that that happened. Now, my question is, if no votes were changed, how do you know that happened?
Well, that's very, very interesting that you say that. If no votes were changed, and how do you know that happened? Because I am also concerned. Am I hearing things? And I'm talking that now as an American citizen, is very proud of my parents from my family from Poland that came to this country, and my grandparents from Sicily that came to this country. Am I hearing the plausibility that people who are not American citizens were able to somehow vote?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that's...
I mean that sincerely when I say this. I'm not joking. You know I'm not joking, Scott.
Well, that's the thing, and nothing against President Trump, but the polls, and you've went through the polls here, the polls were really off in that election, and they were... It's very strange. Let me say this. Covering that last election, Hillary Clinton and President Trump, the polls were not off in Ohio. We knew Trump was going to win here.
Yeah,
the polls
right,
weren't
yeah.
off in the polls weren't off in Texas, California, or New York. They were just off in three states. Now, why? Why just off in three states? Pennsylvania.
Do you know the states? Do you know the states at this point?
Yeah, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, yeah.
And why?
I was surprised in the case of Pennsylvania. I really was. I wonder about this. But my next point is, were the polls off in any way in this midterm election? Isn't that something to think about? I mean, would it be possible for people who are not citizens massively to vote? Is that possible today?
Well, there was a story in the New York Times on Monday that did not get a whole lot of play, that said we had done nothing more to protect our voting system since 2016, and that they were trying harder on Tuesday.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought up that story, because concerns me. We've been doing nothing more. I said I got to keep calm. I'm not going to get into shouting much, because right now the important thing is my prediction of success and what have you. But that's a monumentally important story, because our country's built on the right of an American one of the rights of an American citizen is the possession of voting and no one else touching or tampering or altering it.
Well, that's why I come to you with this question, and this is just an opinion question, because here's what I can't figure. If the Mueller report comes back, you know, it can say whatever it says, but
yeah,
if they have proof that votes were changed and that Hillary Clinton really did win that election, is this country just going to say, well, she really won, but too bad, so sad, we don't have any mechanism to fix that, and go on as usual?
I don't think. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Scott. See what you're saying.
Well, that's I because I'm not saying that's what will happen. But when they said voter rolls were hacked into in 39 states, I want to know how they know that, and if it is that votes were changed, then I want to know how this country goes forward with President Trump if Hillary Clinton really did win. Because on a local level, on a state level, if that happened with a governor, if they found out there, and it has happened, but it's happened like dead people voting. If we found out that there was election rigging that way at the voting poll, what they do is they just overturn the election. They don't hold the election again. That's what, we can't hold that election again. Well, of course you don't hold the election again, but you overturn it to what it should have been. Do you foresee any of this? I don't know.
Yeah, my feeling is this, though. My feeling is after a couple of years, if that was found out at this point, let's say that was found out at this point, Scott, I got to tell you, with the way information is today and the fact that this could not be learned by one person, what have you, I think it would be pretty hard anymore to hide that fact. I really do, Scott, because I want to tell you today, I don't, and I've said this before young graduating students and what have you, I said, I don't know how, and it's going to be something that we must sit down in our personal lives, in our business lives. I don't know how it's going to be possible to keep a secret anymore. And don't misunderstand me. I happen to believe under certain conditions we do need to be able to keep a secret, whether it's a family thing, a personal affair, a business affair, but I don't know, and we're going to have to find out a damn solution. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I have
this one. Scott, this to me, and when I make my predictions for the coming year in the week or two before the New Year's, this to me is going to be one of the critical crises in the United States and the Western world. And I mean, and I won't go into why and the ramifications, but sociologists and behaviorists say, Kreskin, nobody is prepared to address this.
Mm.
We think it's wonderful that we've got mass communications, instantaneous communications, but there's a good and a bad side, and we're not fully prepared for the negative side. We're nowhere near prepared. I'm not going to shout now. I'm sorry. I didn't intend to discuss this now, but it's worth mentioning. I could talk to you for the next hour. I'm serious.
There's just one more thing I want to ask you before we part ways here. All right.
Scott, say that again.
My final question is, because I think this is interesting, because now this election's over, and we've learned now that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are going on this listening tour of the United States. Is Hillary Clinton done on the presidential level? Is she kaputzville as far as that goes?
You mean as far? Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yes, only because of the feedback I get from everywhere, and this is not judging, but I think the full story. You're talking about Hillary. You're not talking about her husband. You're talking about Hillary Clinton, right?
Right.
You said Hillary. Yes, I think so. I think the full story is going to be much larger than we can imagine right now.
But it will deal with Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. And how soon will we know? Do you know that? Have any ideas?
Oh, no.
Well, Kreskin,
Scott, can I tell you something? I don't know where this half hour is going. I'm glad we're on a half hour. I'm going to tell you something, and your listeners have to know this. I speak to hundreds and hundreds of people, in fact, some people in England, what have you. You are one of my favorite people because we can talk very personally, and I know that, and I think that we also can give something to your listeners that they find interesting and sometimes significant.
I think you're right. Kreskin, you're always welcome here, and I always enjoy talking to you, and I'm sure we will talk in the next month because it'll be New Year's predictions.
Oh, yeah, in a few weeks. That's, listen, Scott, that I foresee. Talk to you soon, Scott.
Thank you, Kreskin. Bye-bye.
Take care, Scott. Thanks, Scott.
The legendary, amazing Kreskin. What fun he is. What a good show today. Amazing Kreskin and Sam Donaldson. If anybody wants to call in and have any question or comment on anything, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you if you have anything to say about today's show. I certainly have had a lot of fun. Let's see here. Oh, I did want to remind people of the big event we have coming up. The WWGH Radio 107.1 FM First Annual Christmas Olympics. Now, this event will take place at Grant Middle School, located at 420 Presidential Drive in Marion, on Thursday, December 13th, 6 until 8 p.m. There will be three events. The first event, the Christmas Cookie Baking Contest. Bake your favorite Christmas cookies and bring them to the event on December 13th to be judged by our three judges, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, Charlie Evers, and myself. Then we have the Charlie Evers Christmas Fruitcake Toss. Oh, those awful fruitcakes. Those awful Claxton fruitcakes. Well, at this Christmas Olympics on December 13th, we will be tossing actual fruitcakes to see who can throw a fruitcake the farthest distance. That's exactly what's going to happen. Then we have an event called Eggnog Pong. Eggnog Pong. We will find out who can bounce a ping pong ball into a glass of eggnog the most times. What an event at Christmas this is going to be. You can enter any event for a minimum donation of $5 per event, but you can donate as much money as you would like. You can also pay the entry fee and nominate someone else to participate in the event you choose to enter. We've been asked if people at the station can be entered. Yes, we can. You can nominate somebody else for an event as long as you pay the $5 fee. The person or group who raises the most money will be the Christmas Olympic champion for 1 year and will get the Christmas Olympic medal. We hope to be doing this every year. The contest started on November 1st, and it will run through December 12th. You can enter people up through December the 12th. All you have to do is bring your donation to WWGH Radio, located at 559 East Center Street, under the Beltone Hearing Aid Building. Right across from Domino's Pizza, you see Beltone, you park out back, you come down the back steps. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. But you can call in your person right now that you want to nominate to enter. And then you, as long as you pay the money by December 12th, you can call in live on the air, 740-383-9944. I've got the form right here to enter people into this contest. Now, once you enter the person, whatever name you give us of the person, we will mention on the air. For instance, if you called in today and said, well, I want to enter Julia Thompson to be in the Eggnog Pong, we will write down Julia Thompson, Eggnog Pong, and then every time we bring up this event, every day, we will read, Julia Thompson has been entered into the Eggnog Pong competition. Or Tom Stivers has been entered into the Fruitcake Toss, and we'll read that every day through December 13th. So you will get to hear your name on the radio multiple times, or the person who nominated you. And we will also read who did the nominating. So if a business, let's say the Palace Theater, entered Tom Stiverson, well, we would say the Palace Theater has entered Tom Stiverson into the Fruitcake Toss. So that's how this will all play out. We have nobody entered in any event yet. Now, you could pay $15 and enter somebody in every event, or enter yourself in every event. And you don't have to do anything. The money does not have to be paid until December the 12th, and the event is not until December the 13th. Grant Middle School, the old Harding High School, starting at 6 p.m. So that's the event. If you'd like to call and enter somebody, you can do that now, 740-383-9944, or you can leave it on the answering machine. If it's a time we are not here, just leave the person you want to enter, the event you want to enter them in, and who is entering them, and we will put that on the sheet. And as long as you come pay the $5 before December the 12th, they will be entered. So you can do that now. We have 12 minutes left in the program, 48 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to enter anybody in those events. So that's that. Phone lines are open. Now, we do have some trivia questions left over from last week that we do not have answered. We haven't had time to get to them here. Been busy this week with election coverage. So let's go back and see if we can get some of these questions answered. What did Florence Harding do on the one-year anniversary of the death of President Harding? On the one-year anniversary of the death of President Harding, there was a commemoration ceremony held in the Marion Cemetery, where President Harding was being held. Florence Harding got up, and she spoke, and then she did something creative. What did Florence Harding do? 740-383-9944. We've still got this question. We've had this one for a while. There were two presidents who attended the Harding Memorial dedication on June the 16th, 1931. Two presidents were at that event here in Marion when the Harding Memorial was dedicated on June the 16th, 1931. Now, one of those presidents was Harding's former Vice President Calvin Coolidge. Who was the other president who attended the Harding Memorial dedication on June the 16th, 1931? 740-383-9944. Then we had our election trivia, which we'll keep doing because we don't have the answers for it yet. How did George Washington try to get people to vote for him? He persuaded them in a unique way. What was the way?
Go ahead, caller.
As to that one question, I'd probably say Hoover.
The two presidents? You are right. It was Calvin Coolidge, because he was Harding's vice president, and Herbert Hoover, because he was the sitting president. Those are the two presidents that attended the Harding Memorial dedication June the 16th, 1931. Would you like a prize today?
What's my choice?
Let's see what we got here. We've got candy. We've got a lot of candy. We've got a hamburger from McDonald's. We've got an insulated coffee mug from CRT. We've got a Huntsman Auto oil change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. As far as the candy goes, we got M&Ms, we got Reese Cups, Kit Kats, Snickers bars. Any of that appeal to you?
I can sit there and pick that up tomorrow. My wife would probably like that.
Which one did she want?
As far as the candy goes, it's like, what'd you say? You had M&M's, Reese's Pieces, and something else?
M&M's, Snickers bars, Kit Kats, Reese's Cups, Gummy Bears, M&M's.
Okay. Do you have the plain chocolate M&M's?
Yes.
Okay. I'll pick those up then.
Okay. Those will be waiting for you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. Well, that question's down. It was President Hoover. President Hoover and former President Calvin Coolidge attended the dedication of the Harding Memorial on June the 16th, 1931. Okay, but we do have other trivia questions here. How did George Washington used to try to persuade people to vote for him? George Washington had a way of trying to persuade people to vote for him. Now, I don't know if you could do this today. It's kind of unique, but he did it. How did George Washington used to try to persuade people to vote for him? Here's another question. When was Election Day set? Now, what I mean by that is, when was it decided that Election Day would be on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. What year did that happen? What year was it decided that Election Day would be on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? Another question. Why is Election Day on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? There is a reason that it was put on that day. Why is Election Day the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? Why is that? And our final question today, which president never voted until the election in which he was elected president? Which president had never voted until the election in which he was a president? 740-383-9944. Those are the questions. And like I say, we do have the M&Ms, we have the Reese cups, we have the Kit Kat bars, we have the Snickers bars, we have the hamburgers from McDonald's, ice cream cones from McDonald's, we got the Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only, we've got the CRT insulated coffee mug, and we also have the opportunity for you to enter someone in our big Winter Olympics coming up here very soon on December the 13th. You can enter him in one of the three competitions, either the eggnog pong, the Charlie Evers fruitcake toss, or the Christmas cookie baking contest. And remember, if you're thinking about entering somebody, you can call the number any time of the day, leave it on the answering machine. Just tell us who you want to enter, what contest you want to enter them in, and who you are. And we'll start announcing that on the air. But the trivia questions remain. 55 minutes past the hour. We've got about 5 minutes left here. What did Florence Harding do on the one-year anniversary of President Harding's death? They had a commemoration ceremony at the Harding Cemetery. Well, it's not the Marion Cemetery. They had a commemoration ceremony at the Marion Cemetery where his body was being kept. And Florence Harding got up in front of the group on the one-year anniversary of his death, and she did something. It was kind of creative. She did it in front of the crowd. What did Florence Harding do? 740-383-9944. How did George Washington try to get people to vote for him? It was a very unique way. Now, you got to think back to his day and age, 1700s. How did George Washington persuade people to vote for him? He used to do something to try to get people to vote for him. What was it? What year was Election Day set as the first Monday, or the first Tuesday, after the first Monday in November? What year in the United States did we set the day, Election Day, as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? When did that happen? Why is Election Day on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? There is a reason that it's on that particular day. Does anybody know the reason why Election Day is on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? It was chosen for a specific reason. Which president never voted until the election they won for president? That's the first time this person had ever cast a vote, and they got elected president. Which president was that? 740-383-9944. 2.5 minutes left in the program today. Now, don't forget, tomorrow here on the station, we kick off the day at 10 a.m. tomorrow with the program Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself. That's 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. 11:10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett. That's always a lot of fun to hear what's on Marge's mind. 12:10 to 1 p.m. it's The Exchange Club with Charlie Evers, Brandy Downs, Marge Hazlett, and myself. And we will certainly have a lot to talk about tomorrow with the election results. And I think we're going to hear from Tara Dyer, who was one of the candidates. She's going to talk tomorrow during that program about the election and why things went the way they did. And we'll do that tomorrow from 12:10 until 1 p.m., and then the Charlie Evers Show tomorrow, 1:10 until 3 p.m.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that's you. They went into the field with the bombers getting into the field.
That was why the election was in November, but that's not why it was the first Tuesday after the first Monday.
All right.
Didn't have to do with the farmers. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, the question is, why was Election Day set as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? Now, the reason the election is in November had to do with the farmers. It's because it was the first month they didn't have to spend in the fields with the crops. That's why we have elections in November, but that's not why the election day was set as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Why was it set as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? We have time for one more call today if somebody wants to guess at any of these questions. 740-383-9944. We certainly thank Sam Donaldson today and the amazing Kreskin and the calls we've had here in the last 20 minutes in regard to our trivia questions. Always a lot of fun to sit and talk with you, the listening audience. Still got time for one more guess. What did Florence Harding do at the one-year commemoration ceremony of the death of President Harding? How did George Washington used to try to convince people to vote for him? How did he try to persuade them to do that? What year was Election Day in the United States set as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? Why is Election Day the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November? And which president had never cast a ballot until he cast a ballot for himself to win the presidency? Anybody want to guess before we go off today? 740-383-9944. I guess not. Well, I certainly appreciate you for listening today. I certainly appreciate the participation, as always, and I look forward to talking with you tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. But stay tuned. Much more programming still ahead here on WWGH Radio. But for now, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Never be on my show again. I said, did you remember what you said to me? But I don't care what I said to you then. Yes, I'll never forget that.
Now, wait a second. So he told you you stunk.